Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Real Dump. So this is a different Real Dump for a couple of reasons. One, I'm in Los Angeles. I don't have a microphone, so it may sound a little weird. Forgot the mic in New York. Here for the Star Wars premiere. We're recording this before the premiere, though. So we're going to talk some Star Wars predictions today because we want to get it in before we all see it. And so don't worry. If some of you know that I'm going to see it and I'm doing predictions and you're hearing this after I see it, I'm not spoiling any. Like, there's no spoilers. I have no idea. I have not seen the movie yet. We also have an absence of Trill Bollins this week. So, Ken Jack, just you and me. And we have a message from Trill, actually, we'll play right now.
Hello, this is Trill Bollins, the lawyer. I'm reading this statement from the actual real Trill Bollins. This is me, Trill Bollins, real lawyer, reading a real statement from the real Trill Bollins. I apologize for not being on Real Dump this week. Unfortunately, I must take this time to be with my family after Ken Jack owned the shit out of me last week when we were talking about Star Trek. While I went into that argument with knowledge that I thought I possessed, I soon realized I was an idiot, and I was wrong. I've apologized on Reddit, I've apologized on Twitter, and I will now up my knowledge of Star Trek by watching the Star Trek classic with the famous villain Khan, Star Trek Into Darkness. Thank you, and I will return next week during the main podcast. Good night.
Oh, it's tough. Tough not to have him, but I totally understand.
Yeah, we miss you, man.
Yep, totally missed. He'll be back, though, this week. He's got to go see Disaster Artist, too. And when he sees Disaster Artist, we'll be ready to review The Room and Disaster Artist, along with ranking the top 10 Christmas movies of all time this week.
Will Die Hard make the rankings?
I was literally about to say, I am not putting Die Hard on the list because I don't want to reveal that our listeners picked Die Hard as the number one Christmas movie. I can acknowledge it being a Christmas movie, like in like the umbrella of Christmas movies, but it's not getting voted along with like Elf and A Christmas Story and, you know, Miracle on 34th Street and all those movies. It doesn't count along with that. So
yeah,
sorry. We'll trigger some people, but I don't really care.
More like Bruce Willis will trigger some people during yep. Die Hard, like Hans.
So the fact that he made like 10 Die Hards, that's why I don't want to put it in there. Doesn't count.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Jurassic World, the Fallen Kingdom trailer, on the main podcast this week with Trill. But any quick thoughts, Ken Jack? Because it came out a few days ago. Came out the day we released our podcast with Donnie. And the funny thing is, a lot of the things that we teased and talked about actually happened in the trailer. And now keep in mind, apparently the trailer is only the first 57 minutes of the movie. So that gives me a little more hope than when I initially saw it. And I'm like, wow, they're just on the island again. Fantastic.
I was definitely a little more optimistic after seeing it. I think the teaser or whatever, the synopsis they had given out at first, I was like, oh, fuck, they're going back to get dinos out. Like, what could possibly bring this on? But, like, I think it's kind of an interesting concept. It having an active volcano on it somehow was never mentioned ever during the entire Jurassic World canon. But they decided to build the fucking tourist attraction on an active volcano, so I guess that's cool.
This is also why, though, I kind of wish they wouldn't have destroyed the tourist attraction in the last movie. Like, I'd rather the people be running from the volcano as well. Like, that's really morbid, but that's a change of pace a little bit. Because this is still very similar to Lost World. Like, they're getting animals off the island, and that, for me, well, that's the same. I didn't despise it. Like, a lot of people who tweeted us, a lot of our followers, listeners, said they hated it, like, immediately. It was one of our most reacted to trailers yet, I think, with the exception of Infinity War and Last Jedi. And so people had some strong opinions on it. I think people were just a little disappointed. Also, the best tweet we got, hands down, is you couldn't ham-fist in more fan service if they tried into that trailer. And that's so true. There's so much fan service. There's like the old Jeep from the original movie. Mm-hmm. You can see that in the background. Obviously, Jeff Goldblum's in it. there's a lot of fan service, which, you know, I mean, I guess that's the name of the game these days. So
they did that in the actual movie, though, too. Like, they had the scenes with the Jeep and stuff. I got to say, though, I did love it when they went to that garage and they had all the Wranglers, and I was Googling Wrangler, like, buy Wrangler online for like the next like 2 weeks, even though I would never buy a car in the city.
The one thing that I really didn't ever want to see again was the fucking hamster balls.
Oh, yeah.
I really hate those things. I don't know why.
So stupid.
They bring on like shades of Jimmy Fallon, I guess. I'm so sick of those.
Yeah, I was sick of those too. And it's funny just watching him go straight into over the cliff. I was like, good. Fuck the hamster balls.
Yeah, I will say the dinosaurs falling into the water was kind of hilarious. I don't know why. I just falling off a massive cliff.
Like buffalo herding them off of a fucking mountain.
So we'll talk more about that in the main podcast. We'll get Trill's opinion on it, because it's kind of exactly what Trill and Donnie talked about, but what they didn't want to see or what they were expecting as well. That's kind of what we got in the trailer. So that's that. We'll move on to one more thing before we get into Star Wars The Last Jedi predictions, and that's Ocean's 8. That's right, the fourth in the Ocean's movies. It's not a reboot, apparently. It's very connected to Ocean's 11, and I'll read the quote here from Sandra Bullock. We're not a reboot. We're just a well, that's bad English, so I'm reading a bad English quote.
Does Sandra Bullock not speak English?
It says, this is what's happening. Okay. What? I mean, I didn't cut this out. We're not a reboot. We're just as if that doesn't. How the fuck? What is she talking? I think Sandra Bullock had some issues when she was talking.
Maybe she got a little concussed during Blindside.
We're not a reboot. It's just that this is happening in 2017. It's not even a passing of the torch. It's a parallel story of another family member that was raised in the same family Danny Ocean was, and what happens when Debbie steps out of jail with all these amazing, powerful women. So I guess that's her character. Not that I wasn't on board, and I know this is like the Ghostbusters thing from last year, where if you say you don't like it, you're immediately, you know, called sexist or something. I don't like anything past Ocean's 11. Ocean's 13 is serviceable. I'll watch it. It kind of ruined like the mystique of that movie, even though that was technically a remake anyway. So I was a little worried. I'm like, I don't want them to do what Ghostbusters did and like just kind of shit all over the universe. If the Ghostbusters last year had brought in the old characters as themselves, like as the actual characters, I'd have liked it more. But it was weird. It was like these fan service cameo moments that and Bill Murray could not have wanted to be in that movie any less than he was. Oh, yeah. Even though I know he says he loved it. But I'm actually like really on board for Ocean's 8 now, because they're going to have it still tied to the universe. Because now this brings in the option to have maybe one or two cameos or even just references of the actual original, you know, Ocean's 11 characters. I like that. That it keeps it going a little bit more, and it can maybe, you know, build on, like, I guess a universe, which sounds ridiculous for Ocean's 11. But, you know, I was a little worried it was going to be that weird soft reboot, and they just force in all these weird cameos, like, you know, Brad Pitt as, like, a plumber or some shit, and George Clooney as, like, a driver. Just something where they're not their actual characters, but they're just referencing these actors. So I'm on board. I'm buttering the Ocean's 8 synopsis so far.
Yeah, I'm definitely buttering too. I agree with you. I think that I like all those individual actresses in Ghostbusters too. It's just a stinky movie. It was a stinker. I do like Sandra Bullock a lot though. I enjoy her quite a bit. So what's the rest of the cast?
Sandra Bullock is in it, obviously. She plays Debbie Ocean. So yeah, Danny's estranged sister. I like that. That's a cool twist. Cate Blanchett, Helena Bonham Carter,
yeah.
Anne Hathaway, Rihanna,
ooh,
Mindy Kaling, and Sarah Paul.
What?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm all in on this already. That's great cast. I fucking love Mindy Kaling so much.
Yeah, that is a pretty good cast. And then Damian Lewis is in it. Oh, and James Corden's in it.
I'm sick of James Corden in movies, man. God damn, stick to TV.
So actually, I guess this has been a thing for a while. I didn't realize that, because it says Matt Damon and Carl Reiner reprised their roles as Linus and Saul from the original Ocean's movies.
That's interesting. I just hope Rihanna does better, because she stunk in Valerian real bad. Not that that was an easy role as weird octopus lady.
There's a lot of cameos, apparently, actually. There's like Olivia Munn, Kim Kardashian, Kylie Jenner, Serena Williams. That's a lot of people.
Jesus. Well, they're just all right, I'm all in.
I'm all in on cameos. This. I just wanted the story to be good, and apparently, you know, they're gonna give it a chance with like continuing this universe. I'm all for a more Ocean's movie if they have creative, I guess creative, like, you know, like hammer scenes or whatever it is, or climax scenes like they did in the original one. I mean, that scene is amazing, and it always will be.
It's really hard, I think, to make an original heist movie, which is what makes something like Logan Lucky so cool. So if they're able to make it just something really original, like a good, just really good original content, I'm all in. Like you were saying, just make it a good plot that isn't something we've seen before.
Oh, that's why. Okay, so folks, don't ever say we read and prep for this podcast, because sometimes we don't. The synopsis is right there. The reason why you see all those cameos is because it's them at the heist of the century at the Met Gala in New York. So all the celebrities make sense.
Why are they heisting from the Met?
I don't know. Maybe some murals.
Priceless diamond.
Maybe some artwork. Maybe, like, because remember, it was like there was a heist with artwork in the Ocean's 12, but it was poorly set up, so it didn't make sense. So, all right. On board with this. We're into it. Moving on, though. Last but not least, we want to get these in. This is a short one. Apologize, folks, but, you know, got things to do here this weekend. We got some Star Wars premieres to go to, so we can make sure we see the movie 1,000 times and then hammer out quality content for the main Star Wars podcast. But we're going to do predictions here. We'll get them in before, you know, the movie comes out, before everyone sees them, so we can either become absolute losers or we can become winners with our predictions. So why don't you start it off? Read out your five. I'll read my five, and then we'll read Trill's five that he sent to us. So Ken Jack, read off your list. What are your five predictions? Are we calling these bold predictions? Or are we just calling them predictions? Because mine are fairly bold.
Three of mine, I think, are pretty mainstream. One of which, my fourth one, I think, is a little out of the line. My fifth one isn't necessarily a prediction so much like it's going to happen. Like, it will happen. I guarantee you 100% it will happen. So I'll read them off in order. So I think that Rey is related somehow to Obi-Wan. And everyone's been saying that forever. I think there's somewhere down the line that's going to happen, because they had a lot of references to Obi-Wan, especially in Rey's vision scene in Force Awakens. Like, they had all the lines and everything with him speaking. So I think that's my first one. Second one, I think Kylo turns against Snoke at some point. I think that's the extension of the hand. I think that Snoke's going to try and recruit Rey, and then when he can't, when he thinks he does, he's going to cast aside Kylo. Then Rey and Kylo are going to team up, and that's where I think that destruction scene is. I think that Luke does not have a lightsaber scene in this movie. I think he's going to be power is going to be the Force. Like, I don't think he's going to have any scenes where he's wielding lightsaber at any point. My fourth prediction, this is the only bold one, I think Chewie dies.
Oh, fuck. Wow.
That's okay. My only bold one. I just get the feeling like him without Han is going to be like a theme or something, and then they're just going to have him.
I think the Porgs are going to give him life. I think the Porgs are going to give him something to live for.
You think that's going to be like his like consolation is the Porgs?
I think. I don't know. That'd be messed up. If Chewie died, that'd be a bummer.
Yeah, I'm going to be the Winnie the Pooh gif in the theater just floating away into eternity once Chewie dies.
That would be shocking, because I was not shocked by the Han Solo thing, and I think most fans weren't, because Harrison Ford begged them to kill Han Solo for so many years. You're like, okay, he's going to die. Like, you knew it. If Chewie dies, anyone who at this point who dies, main character-wise, will be a surprise.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's one where it'll be a big surprise to the fans, but at the same time, it wouldn't detract too much from the actual story. My fifth prediction, and this is the one that I think absolutely will come true. That's my only prediction that I know will happen for a fact.
Oh my god. This is the part where Trill stopped talking for like 2 minutes because he's too hard. He's laughing too hard.
Ken Jack, I just have something to say, and that is that I will also be...
Thanks, Trill.
Oh man. Ken Jack, we're not going to get advertisers because of you. I don't disagree with many of those. The only reason I didn't say Rey is related to Obi-Wan is because I don't think they're going to resolve it this movie. Is related to Obi-Wan or Palpatine, but I don't think she's going to resolve it in this movie. And I'm fairly sure that won't happen. That's not one of my predictions, though. First prediction, Rose Tico, the new character by Kelly Marie Tran. She has a sister in this movie. That sister has no chance at living. Not a chance. Paige Tico, dead. I did make these predictions before I saw that Paige is in the front of a children's book for this movie, so now I'm not quite sure about that. Wait, that's not really a spoiler, folks, by the way. And don't look up Star Wars children's books, because there are spoilers on the internet right now, so don't do that.
Yeah.
Big suggestion. Like... But I do think Rose's sister Paige will die, because I think she's going to have some motive to be with Finn and infiltrate the First Order. I think the new lightsaber color will be white. If there's a new lightsaber, I think there will be a new lightsaber. I think it'll be white. I don't think Rey's going to fight with Luke's lightsaber for the rest of the movie after her training. I think Benicio del Toro is going to be an existing character. I see no reason why they've codenamed him DJ. Like, yeah. There's no reason to do that if he's not somebody already existing. Now, if it's wrong, I mean, I guess slap in my face, and I don't understand that, but I see no reason why you would give him a code name if he isn't somebody already existing in the universe. That wouldn't line up for me. I think Snoke casts away Kylo Ren, so very similar to what you said, Ken Jack, but I do think that you said he turns against him. I think it's more so Snoke doesn't want him anymore.
Yeah, I guess that's more what I meant, is that once Snoke casts Kylo aside, Kylo then, I guess, turns. If that makes sense. It's by default, so it's not like it's a conscious choice. Like, I feel like with the First Order, it's you're with them or against them sort of deal, so he's just against them.
And then lastly, I think Yoda and or Obi-Wan appear as a Force ghost, and I feel very confident about that. Which is stupid because I've set myself up for failure now, where if it doesn't happen, I'll be kind of disappointed. Like the black Superman suit, except even worse because this is Star Wars and not Justice League. But I don't have a feeling that Yoda is going to show up as a Force ghost. I don't know why, but I just – and maybe Obi-Wan as well, but I think Yoda is more likely because I think Yoda is the easier one to recreate, because I'm not sure how they do Obi-Wan, because you can't do Ewan McGregor because it's been Alec Guinness as a Force ghost in past Star Wars. But I'm sure – I mean, look, they made Leia and Grand Moff Tarkin CGI, so they could definitely do Obi-Wan, especially as a blue ghost.
That's interesting, because they didn't have a Force ghost in any of the prequels, no?
No, they mentioned it in a deleted scene about Qui-Gon, and it never happened. They never had a Force ghost in those movies.
Yeah, so that'll be our first Force ghost since Return of the Jedi. That'll be pretty awesome.
I just think Yoda. I mean, they're on the original Jedi Temple. That's where the island is. Octo is where the temple is, and there's those books and those journals, and I don't know, the Force tree is apparently in it, which we've seen in trailers. I'm just thinking Yoda or Obi-Wan shows up. The theater would go nuts. We mentioned that when Robbie was on last time, when we talked about the Star Wars trailer, that the theater will explode if Yoda or Obi-Wan appears. I mean, people will be like, that's insane. So,
do you remember the theater? Do you remember the theater when Yoda started fighting Count Dooku?
No, because I saw that movie 2 months after it came out because I was fucking grounded.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, maybe you tell us that.
Yeah. I never got to really experience Attack of the Clones well. Yeah, no, nobody. Yeah, no, didn't experience it. Didn't know about it. A friend spoiled it for me. Yeah. Don't be an asshole, kids. Don't be an asshole to your mom.
You know what might be interesting?
See Attack of the Clones.
You know what be interesting, too, is if part of being on Octo is, and especially the Jedi Temple, is maybe Luke has to like see all the Jedi that he knows that died. So maybe he has to see all like his students, Force ghosts and stuff, and all the ones that he knew when he was during the rest of the movies.
Maybe,
that might be pretty cool.
That will be cool. Any Force ghost introduction back into the universe would be fantastic. But let me read off Trill Ballin's prediction. So Trill is obviously not here this week, if you haven't noticed by now. Should be pretty obvious. But he's sending his predictions anyway. First up, Yoda trains Rey. So a little bold, but he thinks Yoda will train Rey. He thinks Luke is going to be like, nah, fuck this. I'm not training you. Rey turns to the dark side. So that's a bold 1-2 punch there. Yoda did such a shitty job training her, she turns to the dark side.
In a single movie.
Snoke ends up being Grand Moff Tarkin.
What?
Yeah, so Tarkin from the original trilogy in Rogue One. He thinks Lando comes in at the end of the movie, which is wild because they've confirmed he's not in the movie. So
yeah.
That's a tough prediction.
Pretty tough.
And then finally, he thinks Captain Phasma is going to shoot and kill C-3PO.
I think C-3PO is one you can't kill. I see Chewie, I think, is he's on his way out, but C-3PO is too much of a... I think Anthony Daniels, like, if he's not part of the franchise, he just, like, will spontaneously combust.
Yeah, he's the only one to be in every movie. He was in, obviously, all three prequels. He was in Rogue One. I'm sure he'll get forced into Solo somehow, you know, so...
I'm pretty sure he did, like, every voice in every video game, too, right?
I don't know what the extent of that is, but I wouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, this is his thing. He's C-3PO, and he's also in Attack of the Clones in the bar scene too.
Yeah.
Along with Ahmed Best. We've talked about that, I think, in our Star Wars podcast. We talked about, because you can buy their action figures. So Trill going really out on a limb there.
Yeah. I got to say, Trill, some bold calls. I wish you were here to defend your takes, but you had to take a sabbatical after I owned you so hard on Star Trek, which I understand, but we wish you were here anyway.
Poor Trill. Just off on in exile like Yoda, just doesn't want to talk. That's that. This is not a longer one, folks. We apologize, you know, but hey, again, gotta get to the premiere here. Traveling, no mic, but wanted to give you a little taste of what's to come for the rest of the week. And then obviously this week we're reviewing Disaster Artist in the Room, and then we'll be ranking those Christmas movies. I do want to say that we talked about food last week, and I told Jack this before we started. I had a big, big bag of Chipotle and like Whole Foods that I bought yesterday when I landed in LA, and it fell over in the middle of the night. And now this really nice renovated carpet in the Sheraton downtown LA has Chipotle and Diet Coke and just every bit of like ranch from my salad from Whole Foods is seeping into the carpet. And it fell over in the middle of the night and I didn't hear it because I had like a podcast running, and it's disgusting. It's gross. The carpet is disgusting.
You know what? As a famously absent podcast host would say, it's better than furry piss. So
that's true. And also when I was getting my Chipotle, there was this very strange, weird man who was ordering behind me, and he ordered in line, and then between items, he would like talk to nobody. Like, I think he was crazy. And then he got his taco and ate it in one bite, stuffed it in his mouth, and then paid for it. He did that before he paid for it. And that was fantastic. So welcome to LA. I'd never been to downtown LA before. I was very surprised by that. I guess that happens all the time here. That's it, I guess. Check our Twitter feed if you haven't already. You're going to know if I liked Star Wars or not. I'm not nervous. Yesterday was the first time, though, that I thought, oh, man, what if it's not good? Because I was watching the documentary, The People versus – I almost said The People versus OJ. The People versus George Lucas. it's like a small-time documentary that I think made some waves where people – they talked about why they don't like George Lucas anymore. And I'm like watching it and just thinking, shit, man, what if – if it's not good, but no, it's got to be good. Because like when the Phantom Menace first came out, people loved it. At least critics did. Like Roger Ebert's like, that's one big thumb right up. It's like,
yep.
Oh, really? I don't think you think that. I would do suggest that documentary. It's on YouTube. You can definitely check it out. And they show a whole scene of people leaving the theater after the Phantom Menace trailer. And there's a guy running out like, oh my God, that's the greatest thing in my life. And the positive reaction to that and the hope, like the amount of like people's hope that had gotten up after that trailer is incredible, because then we all know how much it was crushed months later when the movie came out. It's pretty amazing to watch. I highly suggest you watch that documentary, even just that part.
I have all faith in Kathleen Kennedy. She's like my god, basically. So I have no worries. Spoiler alert, I end up liking The Last Jedi and rating it 100 out of 100.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to give it 100 as well. I can't give it a score because a social embargo means no score, no review. But, I mean, guys, it's implied. It's implied, you know? Come on. So that's it for Ken Jack, for Trill Ballins. Trill, I mean, we hope you come out of exile in time. But, you know, do your best. Do your best, man. We'll talk to you on the main podcast later in the week.
Sorry I owned you so hard, Trill.